Well, good morning. This is Jump in Tucson. I am Tom Moulton, and I'm the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. Every weekday, we have a new host that gets that chance to interview the folks that really make things happen. And today, I got two wonderful people. They're engrossed every day in the Western heritage. And as you know, that's really where we're all from here. You know, largest inhabitant location here in the world. It's right here in Tucson. And Empire Ranch is really just full of rich history. And Marty Conroy and Rick Collins are here to kind of share some stories about the Empire Ranch, what happened when it developed, and what happened when it kind of was abandoned, and then the resurgence of the Empire Ranch and the foundation that was put together to watch over it, and then of course all the nice folks that are out there and running the ranch, very passionate individuals, and I think you'll learn that today from these two folks that are here. So good morning, everyone. There you go, Gick. There you go.
Get closer.
And it helps when Matt has turning it on, and we're in good shape there. So we're going to be here for four segments today. And we try to get to know who you are, okay, because you're passionate about what you're doing. And that's important that we understand a little bit about who you are, a little bit about your background, and then more importantly, what motivates you to be part of Western Heritage here in our community? So I think there's really no order here, but I'm going to start with my friend Marty, if that's okay, because Marty entered my life a little bit before COVID, and being general manager of two Western theme parks over the last, 20 plus years. I have a couple pair of boots that still fit, some Western clothes that are, they tell me, are somewhat authentic, but I don't get a chance to wear them much anymore. And I think I have four cowboy hats. One has my name in it, which is pretty neat. I think I got it from Santa Fe as a gift from the folks out there. So It is so much fun to be part of Western Heritage, and obviously the ranches here in this area, and there's a lot more than just one, but the one you hear about a lot is certainly the historic Empire Ranch. And Marty, you're kind of our face of the Empire Ranch, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I got involved with the Empire Ranch when I moved out to Sonoyta about 12 years ago. Started as a volunteer, still a volunteer. There's only one paid position. The rest of us are all volunteers, spending many hours working with it. I got into marketing this past year. I have several hats. I'm on the board. And all we do is try to get people to come out and see what this ranch, what we are doing to preserve it. A lot of the ranches were torn down. There's nothing left of them. And we were determined that that isn't going to happen in 1997. So I do what I can.
So let's circle a little bit about you, because I know you don't like to talk about yourself. Let's talk a little bit about you.
I semi-retired from the U of A 12 years ago and got a chance to move out to Sonoyta, which is about 15 minutes away from the Empire Ranch. I have a neighbor that is quite involved with the ranch, and she told me that we could volunteer. Our work days were every other month. I went out with her to the first one. We washed the bay windows that time, and I swore that I would do anything but that ever again, and I haven't. I have gotten involved with the medical coordinator. I've been in charge of all the volunteers. I took over some of the events, the gift shop that we have out there. I'm involved in that. Got on the board, did outreach for 5 years, and just, it's anything that you can do, we'll find a job for you when you come out there and volunteer. We have close to 200 volunteers total. Some of them like to do the work days. Others like to do our events that we have out there.
So, Rick, how long have you been involved with the Historic Empire Ranch? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've only been involved with the Empire Ranch for just a little bit over a year, but it is a place that you can be passionate about easily. I've been involved in history for as long as I can remember. I was part of a council that brought the Chiricahua Apaches back to Arizona in 85-86. I've been involved with Tucson Presidio and Tubac Presidio. I do exhibits there and some interpretation stuff. Tubac Historical Society, and after I retired from the U of A, I became a park ranger at Timucuaca National Historical Park, which was a fantastic job. Unfortunately, I'm retiring, or maybe fortunately. It's a wonderful job.
So you've had some great folks that have run that facility over the years, and I didn't know you were part of that. So. Yeah. Pretty special, and obviously it's a national park.
It's a national historical park, right?
And it has some a gentleman that's still helping to fight fires, I believe. You remember that gentleman?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's, you know.
You're talking about Bob Love.
Yeah, and he retired.
Right, he retired.
But he's still out fighting fires again.
I think, just got back from one.
So. Yeah, I know. What a great guy. And yep. He was at Saguaro National Park as well, is where I met him. And they like to move those people around. Because once they grab hold of them, they don't want to let them go.
Right.
And just like you, Marty, you retired, and I retired, and I think I stayed retired for about a month. And, you know, and sometimes I think this my job is a volunteer job, because they told me it was a part-time job. You know, the thing is, it's not really a job, is it, to work at the historic Empire Ranch?
Not when you're passionate about it.
Now, I see that, according to Marty, that you're a vice president. You're both on the foundation board, so you're the keeper of the history. You know, is it owned by the foundation, or who actually owns the Empire Ranch?
The BLM actually owns the ranch in Las Cienegas. And then the Empire Ranch Foundation is actually trying to preserve, A, the history, and B, the buildings, which should be preserved at all costs.
So the foundation has been entrusted to run it, keep it safe, keep it secure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the region around the ranch has really grown, hasn't it?
You mean the...
With the history with the Las Cienegas?
Yes.
Part of Walter Vail was to expand for his cattle when he moved out there. So he had 100,000 acres. But it was the Bureau of Land Management that eventually, in 1988, took with a land swap 42,000 acres. It was in 2002 that with the help of one of the senators that lived out there at one time, he got it to be a national conservation area. So there is dispersed camping, there's regular camping, we have big sites for people that, if you have over 50 that want to come out there, there's big sites, and you can come out there and ride your bike, you can ride all the horses, and you got 42,000 acres to do it.
I think this concept of conservation, BLM gets it, because in my other life, working for Pima County, we had the Crooked Tree Golf Course, and it was also, or is, located on BLM land, and there's no houses around it. So when somebody says, I want to play a desert golf course, well, you're not going to pick something with houses around it. Now, there's a lot of wildlife out there, which is kind of cool, and your balls have a tendency to get sucked up, never to be found, except for sometimes you... There are some people out there that wander out in the moonlight and collect golf balls. I don't know why people do that, but I think preserving conservation, that seems to be what's going on now with the ranches. Okay, not all of the ranches are becoming houses, and Empire Ranch, Canoa Ranch.
Right.
Is something that Pima County did a lot of work to preserve it. How would you say the condition of the ranch is right now?
Because of our volunteers, when we preserve something like the house and the outbuildings, you can't use necessarily new materials. Or if you do, you have to make them look like they're 148 years old. So it takes a lot of skill to do what we do, but we are constantly, our work days, We have guys out there that stay till 3 o'clock instead of leaving at noon. And we have people that love to come out there, clean the house, and we, because of Rick's interpretation and other people's interpretation through the years, it looks like it's lived in. And it was at one time. So we just want to show it off, and because of what we do, and we keep doing it.
And there's got a lot of great festivals that we're going to be talking about in our upcoming segments. And I think we should probably touch a little bit on how the wine industry is exploding in your area. I had an opportunity to watch Fredericksburg from another life and Temecula grow from 5 or 6 vineyards to absolutely major vineyards, and obviously a steady supply of all kinds of wines. And if it's anything, over the last 25 years, wine is, the industry has really grown here. So you are listening to Jump in Tucson, brought to you by Visit Tucson and Accurately Advertising. And we'll be back in just a few moments with Marty and Rick from the historic Empire Ranch. And this is Tom Moulton, and we're back. This is Jump in Tucson, and two very passionate guests today from the historic Empire Ranch are sitting across from me, and Matt, of course, over there within the window is making sure that you can hear us, and that's very important. So again, morning again for the number two segment. We're happy to have you. This show is brought to you by our wonderful friends from Visit Tucson. And we're talking about Western heritage today. And we're talking about one of the ranches that you can go and visit. Very accessible. They have lots of festivals and lots of events now that the summer is starting to kind of creep away. Marty, we were talking a little bit about how important it is to preserve the ranches. Now, you know, I live in Oro Valley, and the two ranches have become shopping centers, okay? And well, we need shopping centers. I understand that. And they try to reserve a little bit of the cultural side. Oro Valley, you know, Steam Pump Ranch does have a couple of historical buildings, and which is really good, and they have a historical preservation society and so on. But BLM took it to the next level. I mean, they really preserved, and you mentioned at the last segment, they preserved 42,000 acres.
Yes.
That's a lot of land, isn't it?
It is, but you have to remember with the history, Walter Vail purchased 160 acres in 1876, had four rooms. The rooms were built by Edward Nye Fish, who was a businessman in Tucson, and had a house, which is now part of the Historic Society, I think, part of his house that he had. Walter came from Nova Scotia and then into New Jersey. So his partner at the time when they came down here, $2,000, bought that four room with no windows in it and 160 acres. In the next 20 years, Walter and his various partners expanded the land holdings to over 100,000 acres. It went down to Mexico.
Amazing.
And into the Rincon
up
Valley.
To the Rincon, yeah.
And it went from four rooms to 29 rooms.
Now, was it predominantly a cattle ranch, or what kind of ranch
was
it?
It was a cattle ranch. And he needed the grasslands that were out there, and he needed the water. And he had both.
Now, the weather is a little bit different from here in Tucson. Is it a little bit higher?
It is. It's over 5,000 feet or close to 5,000. We are usually 10 degrees cooler, either winter or summer. So we get snow. You've got some beautiful mountain ranges out there that when you think of the grasslands, you don't think you're going to see them. And there's at least 6 different mountain ranges that you can see from that area.
So without a grass, you couldn't have had the cattle.
No.
So it was natural growing grass, natural grazing.
Yes.
And the only water in the area, the 160 acres, actually, because of owning the only water, was able to expand and succeed.
Now, was it aquifer or water coming up from the ground?
Yeah.
And it was always flowing back then.
Mm-hmm.
And also you had water, you had land. And now where did these cattle, when they were raised, go?
He did buy some bulls outside of Douglas. Durham Bulls, and that's what started it. Now, this man probably had never done this in New Jersey, but that's what he wanted to do, and he was very good at it. He knew also about using the land so that it wasn't destroyed, because a lot of that happened back then. So he made sure he had the land that he needed and the water he needed. He found out in the late 1800s that he needed to go to California. He leased land over there for a while. It was the Catalina Island. Then there was Santa Rosa Island that he bought, put a house on it. So he had places that he could put cattle other than there. The grasslands that are out there when he was there are still there. There are cattle on that land. There are antelope. There are prairie dogs.
I think we should give a shout out to BLM, because they are doing everything to restore the grasslands. And it is, if you go out there right now, it's green. It is absolute heaven. So,
well, we have a wonderful Southern Arizona BLM region here, and I had to work with them when I was at the county. And they, you know, respected the land. Mm-hmm. And they were serious about it. And not that we were trying to do anything out there, but certainly, and when you add modern lights to a golf course, because we put some lights in the driving range and what have you, there were some really strict guidelines. And, of course, there was, some other rules, like you couldn't have your Republican National Convention there on the land, because it was all built for recreation. And so that was so historical preservation, and let's not forget the word recreation. Now, were there any other ranches in the area as well that
there
he worked
with? There were several, and they were all large.
Okay.
At that time, that was the thing to do, was to build these ranches and make them competitive with each other, and yet they were partners. When they would have a roundup, they would literally, all the ranches would go out, collect all the cattle. Mm-hmm. And then when they got them to one place, because of the branding, they could pick their cattle out.
Now, did they ship them on the train in Tucson?
The Sonoyta Road actually owes its existence to the Empire Ranch, and the fact that the railroad, which is exactly where it is today, running along the freeway, that allowed them to drive the cattle up to the railroad right there at the Cienega.
Yeah, I mean, you had to have a place to transport them,
right?
Because they were raised to eat, and they probably went California,
California and Kansas.
Okay,
and
then
yards.
From there it was kind of like the right. hub, what they call the hump yard, where it went everywhere,
right?
Out there. And any particular type of cattle do you guys recall from that he raised,
I can't tell you about Vale, but the Boyces were Herefords.
Okay, Herefords.
Herefords.
Okay.
And so they raised strictly Herefords. When the Boyces bought it in 1928, that was Frank Boyce and Mary. He was an engineer, but he liked that type of life because he had two other brothers and they owned ranches. And he was lucky enough to get the empire to live on.
So Hereford cattle versus Texas Longhorn, yes, versus other kinds of cattle, that was pretty good eating, I remember.
It was. Oh. And there are still some Herefords on there. And they've done more hybrids through the years.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman that now leases all that land for his cattle, he does have some other kinds, but the Hereford is still, that's the white face with the red, is still a massive amount of the cattle that is raised, including out there.
I wish I knew a little bit of trivia, because I remember watching a movie with Brian Keith, and he introduced Herefords to his ranch, and can't remember where it is, but, don't know how, historical it was, but I think there was some significance in the sense that there's a variety of cattle. We had cattle came over from Spain and from in Britain, and obviously there was buffalo came back, and buffalo and cattle have been produced, a different kind of meat. And we have to remember that without these ranches, right, we wouldn't have had the population growth because they fed the world. And we're still feeding the world with the five C's. We all remembered those, right? Mm-hmm. And cattle and climate and cotton and, you know, and they were all part of the growth here of Arizona. And, you know, we're still pretty rural, aren't we? And mm-hmm. thanks to BLM. Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes, and we're going to continue to talk about the historic ranch industry here in the community. And we have special guests today, Marty and Rick, and we'll be right back. Well, welcome back. This is Tom Moulton, and this is Jump In Tucson. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock with a whole new group of folks that, again, aren't afraid to get their hands dirty, and he will be back on Monday as well, and then I'll be back on the Thursday, a week from now. And boy, I have to tease the show just a little bit. Starting Friday, Nightfall is back at Old Tucson, big scare. And it's an annual event, and we're going to have some of those scary characters here live in the studio. Dr. Hyde has taken a second seat to Mrs. Hyde, so you get to meet her and some other kind of crazy characters. And then, of course, we'll have the marketing and the entertainment people, the boring people, and they'll tell you a little bit about all the activities that are going on. But my guess is I've heard rumors that Mrs. Hyde is up to no good. So that'll be next week. So we're back again with Rick and Marty from the historic Canoa Ranch. This particular segment, good morning again. We didn't have our coffee, I see that, because we kind of went right to work. But we had mentioned at the last segment that Old Tucson, we talked about Old Tucson, that the we're about 2,300 feet up above their sea level, and over there in the Empire Ranch, it's about a little over 5,000 feet. So it's already cooler. Your mornings are already cooler. But that signifies it's time for people to come out of their air conditioning. And this is what's helping to preserve the historic historic Empire Ranch. We were talking about Canoa Ranch during the break. Rick is kind of really can't wait to have these people come into his domain, because then he gets to tell the stories in the kind of sense, the curatorial part of running a historic ranch. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to start with some of the things that you guys, the foundation, have dreamed up. And then we're going to go over to Rick, and he's going to tell him. So what happens when you get there? Yeah, you want him to go to the gift shop. I understand that. But there's a lot more that goes on. Marty. Yes.
We have 6 events each year to showcase the preserved ranch. We have docent tours that you go online and sign up for. I am a docent also, so I've got 5 people coming this Saturday that they signed up for. And we tell them the story. It takes about an hour. The ranch is open 365 days a year, so anybody can come out there, go through the ranch. Each room has got a frame description of the preservation, the architecture, and what the room was. When you have 4 rooms to start out with, it's going to change each room. From the time they started building more, then it changed what that room was used for. We have 2 of our events are called Movie Under the Stars. They are part of the 52 movies and TV series that were filmed out there, including Red River, Oklahoma. And so we try to show those movies so people can actually see somewhat what, because they started in 1939. John Wayne loved it out there, and some of the Tombstone movies, part of it was filmed out there. So the biggest event is the one coming up soon. It's the 2nd and 3rd of November. It's always the first weekend. We have a trail ride that's 45 minutes during that time. People love to do that. They don't want to sit on a horse for an hour and a half, and maybe they've never been on a horse before. So they get 45 minutes of riding along the Las Cienicas, just looking at the land and listening to someone talk about the what's out there and how precious it is and why it needs to be kept. We have so many things going on in those 2 days. So you need to go onto the website. You need to look at the program. It's changing constantly. We have demonstrations. We have educational nonprofits. We have Western authors. We have cowboy conversations. We have vendors. We have lunch. And you could just walk around and spend all that time just looking and go through the house if you want to. It's there. And we want to show it off. And we do that because we have events. And we need members to keep preserving the ranch. It does take money. And it takes a lot of hours. So that's why the volunteers are so important. It takes almost 200 volunteers to put the Cowboy Festival on. And that's our biggest one. But we have five others that are smaller. And we do what we can to show people what it's like. And we have people that come out there that have been in Tucson half their life, and they've never been out there.
So, Rick, Marty is doing her job very nicely, gets the people out there. Didn't realize it was open 365 days out of the year, which is great. I presume there's a caretaker out there if there are any questions throughout the day. And
there is.
And keeping it safe and, you know, free of any vandalism is very important. Why you would want to vandalize historic property, you know, is beyond my understanding. But so, Rick, they come out there, these warm bodies. What kind of people do you see coming out?
You see a lot of people stopping by because it's not exactly next to Tucson. Mm-hmm. So, but we're beginning to see more and more people come out for the specific purpose of visiting it. And, of course, as you well know, that Western history is very important, tombstones right down the road, all that kind of stuff. And we're actually trying to incorporate more interpretation about the area. For instance, we have nothing about Apaches, and yet Apaches are extremely impactful to the area. So we're working on a new exhibit on that. As Marty said, the movies are so important out there. And so we're trying to birth an idea now where we will mark locations that were significant in the movies that you can stand and see the place. So that'll be kind of fun. We're actually doing a lot of research right now on the Sonoyta Road, which the exhibit's called Danger Road. And your chances of dying during the 1870s on the Sonoyta Road were pretty high, and it's not automobile accidents. So.
And these were folks that like to wear masks? And it's not COVID,
well,
right?
Yes, those and people, some Apache stuff as well.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And we have, the stories are just really connected to the East Coast in here. And so it's incredible, just wonderful stuff. We're getting more into transportation with saddle donations that we're getting. Allison Bunting, our historian, has done so much of the background work. So now trying to bring what she's come up with to life is kind of fun. The Empire... those buildings were there in the 1860s, the original buildings. And so it's been there a long time. There's so much history.
Now, are they wood construction, adobe, a combination?
Adobe and then onto wood some, yeah.
Even though it's 5,000 feet during the summer, it did get hot.
It gets hot.
And those adobe walls are pretty darn thick.
They do a pretty good job. We have our maintenance crew works all summer long, and they don't die, so it's okay.
No. Well, that's good to hear. I don't know where the nearest hospital is to that area, but it is, of course, adobe buildings are all over our region and old Tucson. Back in 1939, that was a popular year for, we had three major movies then going on in 1939. Arizona, which kind of got, you know, old Tucson back up and running. And there was a depiction of what old Tucson, or what the original Tucson looked like during... it was during the Civil War, part of the movie, and talked a lot about that time period, and it featured a very colorful, very colorful history with the settlers, and some of those original structures. They were all built by the Total Auto Nation for the movie. And then there was The Quick and the Dead over at Mescal, just down the road in Benson. And then there was the movies in 1939 that you were talking about. Now, yes. I've been starting, there's a new network now, and the old Tombstone series are on. I had an opportunity to stay home on Monday and work from home, and I think I watched like 3 or 4 episodes, and you know, some good guys were playing Wyatt Earp, and you know, and then of course what's more accurate, the Tombstone TV show or the movie or the book you read, you know? So, but it's really interesting how I believe Westerns, you know, back when the fire happened at Old Tucson in 1995, they indicated that Westerns were starting to die. I have to say, there used to be maybe 2 or 3 Westerns made short, you know, in the 2000s. And so I think there's a heck of a resurgence of Westerns right now.
There Everything's is. Cyclic. It's coming back.
It is. So.
And little kids are playing cowboys, and, and Old Tucson has a new management company out there, and they have their Western experiences from November through May, and they're doing pretty darn good. And they sell, you know, they sell cowboy hats and boots made in from Mexico, and you know, which is where I think you got to have a wonderful leather boot made from Mexico, and of course they're entertaining. Now, when you have your festivals, is music a big part of it?
Music is. We have a music stage. We've got 2 or 3 bands that love to come out, and they entertain the people all day long. And you just get to spend walking around and seeing everything and listening to people talk about the old. We talk about part of Tucson. And the Presidio is part of it because that's where the beginning was for Tucson.
So we're going to be back on our final segment. And, boy, it's great to have you two folks here. And this is Jump in Tucson, and we'll be right back. All right, we're back, and this is Jump in Tucson. And my name's Tom Moulton. I'm the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and I got to be here every Thursday. Our show next week is going to feature Mrs. Hyde and some of the crew from Old Tucson's Nightfall, so that should be a pretty wild radio broadcast. Marty and Rick, thank you very much for coming, and I know we got a few things we want to cover before we go, and I think one of the things about this history or Western heritage, very popular cult, you know, Tucson and the Southern Arizona is so rich in culture, and when BLM helps to kind of preserve this, the area seems to just prosper. So you can spend a lot of time down and have a nice vacation in your area.
Yes, there are, I think, 12 to 14 wineries now.
Get closer to the mic.
12 to 14 wineries down there. You would come down and spend an hour with us and get a tour of it. And there's several restaurants. You can go to Patagonia. There's several in Sonoyta. I can't call it quaint because it isn't. But it is a Western little area that you can see so much while you're down there.
Romantic was the word you're looking for.
What?
Romantic area.
Romantic area, okay.
No stress.
No stress. I enjoy living down there. It's quiet, and it's just peaceful. And I have, outside my place where I live, I get the backside of Mount Wrightston, so I get to see the snow on the mountain, and I get to see all of that. There's hiking. You can bicycle ride down there. You can do it all. When you come down,
you know, you mentioned it's a grassland.
Yes,
Of course, Mescal, another movie studio, was featured in many movies because of the grassland. But here you have a true 360-degree vista, don't you?
Vista. You come, you leave 83, and you get to the first little area, and it's Lapa Hill, but it kind of turns, and you just look out, and you can imagine what Walter Vail riding a mule saw when he went there. He was looking, he saw 5 ranches he looked at, and he picked The Empire.
Now, when you say Walter Vail, does the little sleepy town of Vail named after him?
It was. He and his brother had some land that the railroad needed to come through, so they named it Vail Station.
I shouldn't say it's sleepy because it's really growing.
No, it's not.
It's not quite. They tried to be a town at least twice, that I think, but it's certainly a huge part, a colossal cave. Spanish Trail, you got to take that road. It's a wonderful road out there. But I have to tell you, you know, when you talk about the region, and you can make a week out of it because you have the Highway 80 group with Tombstone and Douglas and
Benson.
Bisbee and Benson. Amarin is out there. The Thing is out there, whatever that thing is. It's just an escape, you know. And I can't remember when you're going down on your way there, and right next to where there's a rest stop, there's all these wonderful rocks and everything, you know.
Texas Canyon?
Texas Canyon.
Yeah.
I went on a geology hike just recently, and the rocks are absolutely gorgeous.
I mean, there's nothing like that. I mean, maybe in Texas. Or Monument Value or something like that. But the scenery is, and of course, we're famous for not only our climate, but our sunsets, for sure. And I didn't realize you had six mountains out there in that that area, you know, so, but it's growing. And the vineyards, how many did you say?
At least 12.
12 vineyards. Mm-hmm. And that's whites, reds,
everything,
dessert, including wines, everything.
It's not just wines; they do spirits too, and beer.
And beer.
So, it's an all-in-one, and you could just have a very fun day, and it's a day trip.
Now there are tours; there are actually organized tours that are, you can do wine tours where you get into a little mini bus with your friends, and you don't have to worry about driving and drinking. And so we encourage you to go to the visittucson.org site, and you can learn a lot more about what there is to do. You can go to your website, which is
www.empireranchfoundation.org.
Okay, and that's wonderful thing about the websites. You can learn so much more before you even, you know, get into the car. And I'm really happy to see that when you get there, there are going to be things to do. It's okay to take a souvenir item home with you because you want to let people know where have you been. Now, you have Wi-Fi out there for social media?
We do. And okay. During our big event, we have an ATM.
Oh, hey. You know, cash is still accepted in the Western towns. Well, I want to, again, thank you very much for sharing all this information about the historic Empire Ranch and how important ranching still is to our area, to Arizona in particular, and how it's still a little bit wild out there. But the good thing about it is you can have some really wonderful brew out there, you know, that is only in that particular area. And plan on making a vacation, you know, when you're here in Arizona, or a day trip from Phoenix or wherever you might be. But this is a Jump in Tucson, and we're glad we had you folks here today.
Thank you for
learning a little
us.
Bit. And we'll be back again next Thursday, and Ed will be here tomorrow with his own show. See you all later. Take care.